Hello and welcome to the Sunday Afternoon Podcast with Greg Reese. Today is Sunday, March 31st. Easter Sunday. And I welcome you. I hope you're all doing well. Love you guys. Thanks for joining me. My voice is kind of going, but today I'm not really going to be talking. I'm just giving an intro. I interviewed Todd Callender, who I've been looking forward to interviewing for a while, and I'm going to play that. I'm just giving an intro because it was the first time I talked to him, and as soon as I got him on the line, we just started talking, and the conversation got like really interesting before we got into the... I wanted to talk to him specifically about the research he's been doing with a group of people where they are... basically, in a nutshell, I need to learn more about this. I am going to talk to him again and some of his associates on the subject. But basically, the idea is what they're finding is that they're for several decades they've been doing this. They've been contaminating food supply and everything with cesium, because once they can get cesium in our bodies, then they can use external frequencies to modify that cesium and turn it into, what we would call like a virus or a parasite. But it's all electromagnetic in nature, which really goes back to that. I did a recent video on what people call terrain theory, and I got into the Manly P. Hall thing at the end where he's talking about the electromagnetic field of the body and maintaining the health of our energy field. Anyways, I'm not going to get too into it because we're about to talk about it with Todd, and it's very interesting. But first, we talk about a bunch of other stuff, which I think is interesting, and I left it in. And before we get there, look, I got a little joy back in my life. Nice to have a banjo again. It's been almost 4 months without. I was pretty secretive about my move. I did give away the one banjo on the publicly, and then the Joy, who some of you have come to appreciate, Joy, I sold. And whoever got her got a hell of a deal. I'm just going to leave it at that. They got an incredible deal. I had, I was selling things in a hurry, so I didn't have time to really stick around and get what they were worth. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. Sanctions aren't really a problem here. I think I've talked about that. I think I talked about that last week, but the sanctions are really just hurting America and the West, and they probably hurt a few Russian, maybe more than a few Russian YouTubers who are using, Silicon Valley stuff for, their small independent endeavors. And so, you can get anything you want here pretty much. It's not a problem. There's a lot of abundance here, and it's all reasonably priced, a lot more than what I'm used to. But the banjo was tricky. That's the one thing I ran into that was tricky. And you can get banjos. It's just that, I like what I like. I'm picky. I wanted a Recording King. That's what I want. I think Recording, and this is advice if you want to buy a banjo. I think, Deering's are good. There's a lot of decent banjos, but in my opinion, you can't do any better than a Recording King. And I'll give my spiel I don't get paid by Recording King. But still, I like to share my knowledge. Recording King is made in South Korea, and it's quality checked in America. It was a guy who got the patents from Gibson on the early banjos and guitars. I haven't played one of their guitars, but I understand their guitars are amazing as well. I understand that the Recording King guitars are also like the best you can get right now. Better than Martin, better than Gibson, and for a fraction of the price. Because a lot of you already know this, but like these big names, Martin, Gibson, they've gotten very lazy over the years. They realize they can sell cheap stuff now for high prices just because of the name. So Recording King is actually making things exactly as they were made with some of the best. Like the banjo I had is designed after a 1930s Gibson banjo, which is considered the best in the world. You know, a lot of people argue it was just an accident. They just sort of accidentally came up with this perfect design. And so what Recording King has done is they've everything down to the exact science of the metallurgy in the tone ring and stuff. So anyways, you can't go wrong with the Recording King. I couldn't find any here. They used to sell them here, and you know, they just, everyone bought them up, and because of the sanctions, you couldn't really get them. But I did find how to get one. About a month ago, I finally found a place that does it. What they do is they order it from Germany to Kazakhstan, and then they have people that they have in Kazakhstan that ship it across the border to Moscow. So I got me a Recording King. I got a little cheap one here. It's like an entry level. It's the Dirty 30s model. Open back. And I'm a little rusty, as you can tell. It's been a few months. But I'm sure my neighbors are happy here in Moscow to hear some American bluegrass coming through the window. So it's all good. And I'm probably going to get replace the Recording King that I had. I'm probably going to order that this week. I just wanted to get this cheap one first just to see how it goes. Because it was like a month wait. Just wanted to see if it came in a decent quality. But this German music shop it comes from, they did an incredible job packing it up. And so here it is. So you'll be hearing banjo again on the podcast. But first, today, we're going to be talking to Todd Callender, some very interesting subjects. I hope you guys enjoy. I love you guys, and I will see you next week.
Yeah, I get the distinct impression that really most of what it is we're watching is really political theater.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the work we did on the writ quo warranto as it relates to oaths of office. So we found out one of my paralegals FOIA'd all of the oaths of office, the entire cabinet of the federal government. Not one of them has a valid oath of office, including the number one law enforcement officer, the head of the DOJ, the attorney general, has no appointment date. So I filed what's called a writ quo warranto, in Latin it means by what authority. And I filed it with the U.S. attorney because the attorney general's oath of office was defective. And at the time, I didn't know that Mr. Graves' oath of office was also defective. In any event, we per the statute, which says, it's 5 U.S.C. 3332 and 3331, says if they don't have a written sworn oath of office within 30 days of their appointment, everything they do is void ab initio. They're not in office. Look at Alejandro Mayorkas, right? He didn't even bother. And so how does one, this is the jury instructions, how does one prove that they had a duty to the nation?
Yeah.
Well, the law says you prove that by a sworn oath of an affirmation.
Sure. Yeah.
This happened after the Civil War. It happened in the Revolution War. Benedict Arnold, right, as an example. And then after the Civil War, we had half the country who was not so keen on the prospect of this nation. And so they had to prove they had a duty. And for that reason, you could hold people liable or culpable for treason and sedition Without an oath of office, you can't do that. Janet Yellen, no oath of office. Secretary of Treasury, no oath of office. Buttigieg, transportation, none. The other ones are all defective. My point in telling you this is it's a show, complete with Mr. Trump being pursued by Jack Smith. The DOJ came back to us and said, well, here's two of his oaths. Yeah, we recognize these are defective, so we probably should get a sworn one from him at some point. Of course, they didn't. So I provided a brief at President Trump's lawyer's request. Who couldn't be bothered. We gave him a get out of jail free card, right? If he has no oath, he has no means or ability to be prosecuting Mr. Trump. They didn't seem to give a shit. And then what I came to find, this is the part that really screwed my brain, that the prior special counsels that appointed Ken Starr is a good example, had defective oaths of office or non-existent ones. What does that mean? It means this is a great giant show. You got Bill Clinton who gets bad boy, you got a blowjob and you messed up. Did anything happen to him? No. The whole damn thing is a show.
Yeah, I have no problem accepting that. I mean, presidents have no power anyways. That's one thing Putin has made clear, and he's absolutely right. It's run by the management, bureaucrats, and then the presidents are just actors.
Well, the owners, but this is the interesting part, Greg. You know, I live in the Bahamas. I'm in the international financial services industry and have been for my adult life. In Poland, I was bringing in Fortune 50 companies doing their tax work as they were acquiring formerly owned state assets. I live amongst the elite, as they call themselves. I brought Pfizer and the WHO into Cuba 30 years ago, almost. And what I'm saying right now is that the owner class, the ones that own the Bank for International Settlements, right, the ones that print money out of thin air and loan it to governments, they're missing. They've been missing, as far as I can figure, from 2016. So without the owners being in charge, what you're seeing now is the second layer down
that's
fumbling around.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying since 2017. I've been saying to my friends, it looks like whoever was in charge is gone now, because I've been paying attention for over 20 years and they're always confident and cool.
Yes.
They're never running around freaked out and crazy and hysterical.
Yes.
And now they are.
You know, their top cover's gone.
There's a guy.
So hang on. Black Forest dug up. Rothschilds, right? They're digging up little kids in the freaking Black Forest in 2018 or 19. The Windsor crest comes off the castle. The banker for the Vatican gets extradited to the United States under IEPA. It's a law I use to enforce, International Emergency Economic Powers Act. It's civil asset forfeiture abroad. I worked for the federal government in law enforcement in law school. That was the law that we enforced. So what I'm saying to you is I'm affirming your point. Sorry, but none of it could happen if the owners were still around.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I get it. Do you know who Dr. Michael Sala is?
The name Sala brings a bell, but I can't say.
I'm new to him, but he's been doing exopolitics for decades. He's got a background in international government stuff, but he's been focusing on exopolitics, which I find super fascinating. He's a really smart guy. But his research is telling him that what he calls the Saka, these reptilian beings seem to have been, and I'm all about this. Like, I think that, he's saying that they were forced into retreat back in a few years ago because a species came here, that like a more superior species, to sort of witness a transition that humanity is going through and force these reptilians away because they are no match for them. And as soon as I heard that, same reaction I just had to you, I was like, that's what I've been saying. Like, it looks like they had all the confidence, and the people that we're seeing aren't smart. They're just people that are pulled out there like Judas goats, but they had something behind them that gave them confidence. And now not only do they not have the confidence, but they don't know what they're doing. So like stuck.
Oh, they do. They're following the playbook to the T, but it looks absurd because you got Trump that interrupted their playbook for 4 years and now they're trying to implement it and it's just out of whack. Nothing fits.
Right.
It's all disjointed. And you're like, oh, well, you know, but I know that's in the playbook because I have their freaking playbook.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, on exopolitics, one of my clients is the son of Colonel Philip Corso. Do you know who that guy was?
Yeah.
So I've got his memoirs in my briefcase, my filing cabinet right here, all of them. I've read all of them. And he speaks about the EBEs. I mean, he's the day after Roswell. And yeah. He's very clear. I have a copy of the autopsy on the EBEs. So, and there was one interesting, there was a really interesting thing, and it haunts Colonel Corso throughout his memoirs. He's at White Sands Missile Range, and there's a craft that's phasing in and out of our dimension. It's there and it's not. It's there and it's not. So he closes the range, and he goes down there and visits himself. And he finds this cave that's got some water supply in it or whatever. And in this cave, he encounters an EBE who says, look, I want out of here. You know, shut down your radar. And so Colonel Corso agrees to do this. And as the EBE's departing, he says telepathically, a new planet if you can take it. Nothing more than that. A new planet if you can take it. Over and over throughout his memoirs. This haunted him, and it's haunted me, to be frank with you.
Yeah.
And so Colonel Corso turned off the radar, and away it went. It looks to me, by the way, as though the two craft in Roswell, there were two. They were separated by 10 years, by the way. Same place, 10 years apart.
Oh, interesting.
They were shot down. So we had the technology, probably from the Germans back in the 20s, and we shot them down with a EMF signal of some kind.
Yep.
And so, you know, this is all a big joke on us.
Yeah.
It looks to me like the Greata Treaty has been redone because we're all supposed to be dead by 29 December 2029. And they ain't getting the job done, right? You look at COVID, you know, we stopped them effectively. We ruined their enforcement mechanism, which was the military. We poisoned the well, and now the military is not going to enforce Tedros's, you know, edicts.
Do you mind if I leave all this in for the podcast?
Oh, no, whatever. I mean, whatever you think is appropriate.
Because this conversation has been super interesting, so I'm just going to leave it in as is, and I'll add an intro. But, I mean, we're on the same page, I think. And, you know, what's interesting is everyone I know who's got former military background or professional military, they are like, every time I ask them about the non-human factor, it's an immediate, oh, yeah, absolutely, you know.
It's not denied anymore.
No.
I mean, this is the point. If you go and you look at the patents that the Navy released in 2017, it's anti-gravity devices.
Yeah.
The TR-3B is there, amongst other things. And I know engineers, aeronautical engineers, that were working on anti-gravity things for Bell all the way back in the mid-1970s. So we're just now being let in on the joke.
Yeah. Right?
That's the point here.
Yeah. Now, I heard Einstein deliberately changed an equation, the public equation, to some stuff to hide that. And then, but if you knew what you were doing, all you had to do was multiply it by a certain constant. I'm a layman. I don't know, but then you could figure it out.
Nor do I.
Looks like the Germans figured it out as early as the 30s almost. And it seems like,
yes.
It seems almost like in 1952, the UFO swarm in DC was Germans probably kind of establishing their dominance and their power and making a deal
from Antarctica.
Yep. And then it seems like Wernher von Braun and Operation Paperclip was actually the Germans infiltrating the United States instead of, for some reason, I always kind of thought it was us taking them and using them for our advantage. But no, it was the Germans making a deal.
Who won?
Right. The Germans.
Who won World War II? I was going to say, I'm not so sure America. Yeah. I mean, you look at what happened with the CIA and, like you said, Operation Paperclip, NASA. Well, I mean, what is that anyway? I'm sure you've heard the stories of Parsons in the desert
with
L. Ron Hubbard.
Of Jack Parsons, which is a known Satanist, the Nazi scientists, and a bunch of Freemasons. So what is NASA? It's certainly
exactly right. It's never a straight answer, according to people that I know there. In fact, I did my undergraduate on Patrick Air Force Base, which was the satellite to Cape Canaveral, just as a military base just south of it. So some of my professors were actually real rocket scientists, namely my calculus teacher is a beautiful lady that was, you know, double PhD in mathematics. She was a NASA scientist, and that's what she called NASA, never a straight answer.
Yeah, yeah. What they certainly are is they're taking a ton of money, and for a while I thought, they were probably, I don't know what they're doing, but now I think it's pretty clear there is a secret space program, and that's just a cover for it. And they give us the rockets. And
Yeah, exactly. These bottle rockets going up.
Yeah.
And you know, compared to what you can see, all of the science has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
The anti-gravity stuff, and it's kind of absurd.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all, it seems like it's coming out now. And I think it is a show, but I could talk. Obviously, we got a lot in common. We can talk, but I originally contacted you to talk about a video I saw you talking about. Basically, you were saying how viruses are real. They're just not what we're told. They are electronic in nature. Like, and, yeah. And I have a basic grasp of this. I'm mostly coming into this conversation completely ignorant and blind, but I do have a basic foundation, I think, for it in that it seems to me that all of physical nature is electromagnetic in nature.
Yes.
It's all frequency
yes.
and sound. I remember
That's
in my
right.
chemistry class, I took in chemistry one, we were taught that there is no such thing as solid matter. It's an illusion based off of an electromagnetic repulsion. I think he even cited exactly what it was. It was the outer valence electron or something like that that repels from other things. And if you could just switch that off, you'd be able to walk through walls and all this stuff.
Yes.
So I'd like to talk about that, start talking about that, this idea that I think you were saying that these man-made electronic viruses have been around for
yes.
a long time. And
yes.
How can yeah. we start that conversation?
Well, what I'll do is introduce you to Lisa McGee. We can talk about it here briefly, but she has been on such a tremendous journey. She was originally a client of my law firm. We were trying to help her get out of the shots and preserve her job. And it just turned into her coming to work for the firm and Vax Choice, which is one of our group companies that we use to fight the mandates, fight the government, et cetera. And we were looking at all the pathogens and what commonalities they are, and they all trace back to something called death-associated protein 6, otherwise known as gene 1616, also known as kinase, K-I-N-A-S-E, K-I-N-A-S-E. And this particular genome, or these proteins, come from brewer's yeast. That's the genome. It's highly pathogenic. And what happened is she traced it all back to government programs at the Department of Energy, where cesium-137 used as a nuclear weapon, components to a nuclear weapon, the catalyst, amongst other things, and also the atomic clock. And it kept going back to the cesium-137 connection, where our government used it to modify gene 1616, kinase, death-associated protein 6, into 470,000 other pathogens. And as you go through all the science, as she's done for the last 2 years, more and more and increasingly what you see is that it has to do with the pathogenic properties that mess with the hydrophilic bonds that hold our cells together. So each and every cell has this hydrophilic relationship, and it's electromagnetic relationship. That's what contains the water, and all the pieces stay in there, and the cells do what the cells do. And when those bonds are interrupted by electrons or whatever else is happening, gamma radiation, who knows, whatever it is that influence, the EMF signals, have an effect on not just the hydrophilic bonds, but the smaller components, these proteins themselves. And this had some interplay with something called chlorine dioxide. And I'm not sure if you understand.
Yeah, I'm a little familiar with chlorine dioxide.
So that chlorine dioxide, one of the reasons it's so powerful as a antivirulent, amongst other things, is it rips off the free radical electrons. And so this is exactly what it is that we're coming to find, is that this 470,000 pathogens created by our Department of Energy that are now for sale, by the way, have been in our food supply. They've been in our medicine supply for 70 years. This has been a program of controlling the growth of humanity and controlling the sickness of humanity, whereby we see, for instance, here's this new pathogen they created. It causes pancreatic cancer 20 years in the future. So they stick it into whatever drug they want to. Maybe it's the MMR vaccine, right, with SV40 monkey virus. And lo and behold, 20 years later, a raft of populations show up with pancreatic cancer. Lo and behold, a year or two prior to that, there's pancreatic cancer clinics everywhere. So this was the timed, planned demolition of humanity over and over with a setup to not only make people sick, eventually kill them, but extract every last cent from their pockets along the way with maximum misery, a maximum death. And so going back to where we sit today with the plan to eliminate 7 billion people from this planet, they had arrived at these components to put into the shots in form of hydrogel. Part of that is luciferase to track, is bioluminescent to track who's got it and who doesn't. But most importantly, in my view, is something called M-cherry. It's a glycoprotein. This is something called an opsin, O-P-S-I-N, and it is sensitive to light frequencies. The data, the science, peer-reviewed papers indicate that when exposed to red light, these opsins do good things. They can turn a heart on. When they're exposed to blue light, they do bad things. They turn a heart off. I mean, it's, and these opsins were put as a primary component into not just all of the shots, the COVID shots, but they're now included in all of the shots, hepatitis, tetanus, flu, you name it, they're all there. And even in lidocaine, they're putting hydrogel in dental anesthesia. It is just a continuation on the poisoning of humanity from all these different vectors of death, including the white clots that they discovered in 1979 that are made up, their polymerized tin, if you can imagine that. So we've got a lot of scientists, doctors, experts that came to us as whistleblowers providing all this information. But at the end of the day, it supports what it is you said, that we are electrical beings. And our government, dating back to the 1960s, the Defense Intelligence Agency has had access to this. The Russians were leading the way. And they are now at a point that they can deliver electronic frequencies from a half a hertz into the gigahertz range, everywhere in between, and have different effects on a human body, or any body for that matter, and create any and all pathogens ever known to mankind by virtue of EMF signals alone.
Is that, it makes me think of Royal Rife's, the Rife machine.
Yes.
How he can heal you with frequencies.
Yes.
They're basically doing the same thing. They're just doing it in reverse.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Very interesting. So are you saying the hydrogels are being used as like a...
It's a weapon.
Like a trigger device, like so that
in some cases, yeah, they're multitasked, multifaceted because they have different components. With the opsin capabilities of M-cherry, they can turn people's hearts on and off with a certain frequency of light. At an 18 gigahertz signal, which is not a light frequency, right? It's way below. Light's in the terahertz range. The gigahertz range, they can cause the lipid nanoparticles that are little bombers, effectively, to release their contents, release their pathogenic contents. We found those contents years and years ago amongst the 470,000 pathogens the Department of Energy has. They included these chimeric pathogens, what it is you're seeing now in terms of COVID. They're bacterial and viral at the same time. Staphylococcus, E. coli, Marburg components, proteins from Marburg, from SARS-CoV-1 and SARS-CoV-2, which our government created and owns the patents to, including the spike protein. So all of these things were created and triggered. And in the case of Pfizer and Moderna, the mRNA, synthetic mRNA shots, they program people's bodies to produce these spike proteins. These spike proteins are prions. That's what causes mad cow disease. They are not only shed, but they're transmitted through body fluids, amongst other things. And what Bill Gates and these characters said is, we'll figure out how to vaccinate people contagiously. We have all of those papers, right? And so the whole point of this program was to cause the elimination, the eradication of 7 billion people, but in different times. So if you think about it, if you had everybody die at once, who's going to clean up the bodies?
Yeah, right.
And wouldn't you, if you're in the process of killing everybody, wouldn't you extract every last penny from them you could along the way?
Yeah.
Right. All of these things make sense. It's why people were going into the hospital and they couldn't get out. I know, because I ran into cases where I had a client die. The hospital said they were going to kill him. They did. Why? Because there was a bounty put on human life. And there was a piece of law that I stumbled upon that where there was a creation of something called the Bureau of Justice. When a public health emergency is declared, those are magic words, the Bureau of Justice comes into being, and it's an amalgamation of law enforcement, the judiciary, stick that one in your head, public health and corrections. They all become one function. And that's why I couldn't get people out of jail. It's why the responsive pleadings that we were getting back in our federal lawsuits all looked the same. It's why the Department of Justice pleadings all looked the same, because they'd been preparing for this from 2006 when the Bureau of Justice was created. It was created as a result of the 2005 international health regulations. So this plan has been in being for a very long time. It's taken at least 50 years worth of legal maneuvering globally, internationally. It's what I practice, international law, to make sure that everybody was attacked at the same time and nobody could get redress. There was nowhere to go. You couldn't ask another nation, come help us, because they all agreed in 1994 in the Cairo Population Accords to not hold each other accountable. Yeah. So that's how they've cut off any redress to our courts, to our cops, to anything and everything. There's no big brother to hail. I say that, you know, with tongue in cheek a little bit, because it looks to me like maybe Russia has changed. It looks to me like Vladimir Putin has double-crossed Klaus Schwab et al.
It looks like that to me too. I mean, I've heard a lot of people tell me, "Oh, you can't." It's just all part of the theater, and they're very sneaky. And I mean, maybe, but I mean, especially being here too, it just seems like the Federation cares about preserving the culture here and cares about the people.
That counts.
Yeah, I mean, that does count. I don't doubt for a second that they're. That all governments are entwined in something behind the scenes that we're not seeing. I have no doubt of that. But it does seem like they care about. They're not committing suicide here like the West is. So I'm just trying to get this. Okay, so this would tell me that the whole purpose of the 5G, the cell phone towers, even mobile phones, is a way of dispersing this stuff.
Part of it. It's always dual use. The other thing we found is that the use of the 5G towers isn't just to transmit it, but it's to receive. They've already started accessing people's wireless body area networks as an energy source. So if you look at the Bill Gates patent, it's 20202006006, issued by the World Patent Office. And it states, Bill Gates says, if a human is modified in such a way that they can become a battery, a power source, and a cloud computing node, I own that. Well, lo and behold, go to a website. It's called InPersona.com. Go there right now, InPersona.com. And what does it say? It says, we're going to use your biorhythms to mine cryptocurrency, exactly as the Bill Gates patent says. And it's live right freaking now. You can do it right now. Download the app. If you've been shot, they can use your body to mine cryptocurrency right now. How? Why? Through your wireless body area network. And we have all the science that goes with it, peer-reviewed papers. They've already turned. The Matrix is a documentary. They've already harvested energy from people. It's why there's this chronic sickness and chronic fatigue, long COVID.
Yeah.
Is they're using people's biorhythms as a power source.
Draining someone's life force by, wow.
Yes. And so the point of this is that it's already in existence. This is. I'll send you. It's mind blowing.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, they've been. I mean, that's the ancient story. Like even the Gnostic texts were saying that the Archons were draining us in an emotional, spiritual way. And so, why wouldn't they use technology to do the same thing?
Exactly right. And they have. This is the point. So you look at. I'm going to send it to you right now. 12, 14, 2-inch thick copper cables going into these 5G masts. That's like three, power megawatts. It's like 3 megawatts of power, enough to run a city of 100,000 people going to each and every one of those towers. Yeah. That's not an output.
Right.
That's an input. I'm going to send you all of these things, including the patent. I don't know if you've seen that patent.
No. No. I remember the patent, the Bill Gates patent you're talking about. I did a report on that back in 2020, I think. I remember that. And I just never was thinking of, you know, everyone talks about the mark of the beast. I'm not a.
That is it, dude. That is the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it makes sense because that's what they would want more than control would be our actual life force.
Well, they have all of those. They have it all. They can turn us on and off. The EMF, they have got this science down to two things to keep in mind. Two places to the right of the decimal is enough to track each and every human being. That's how fine the frequencies are. You are putting out 0.001 whatever, and I'm putting out 0.0025. They have the ability using EMF to create force fields, to create death weapons, to do anything in between. They have it all, and the 5G system is the bottleneck. I'm also going to send you to this place. I hope you'll see it for yourself. This is coming right this moment. So there's a lot here, and I don't know what your interest is in terms of.
I'm just interested in wrapping my head around, and I'm starting to do that now, which is good. Because I'd like to do a report on this, but I got to understand it first. And then
it takes time.
Yeah.
Right.
And you were saying, so you're saying for 70 years, they've been creating these pathogens through frequency?
Yes, in part. So it what we've come to find is that they will take proteins from different genomes and they genetically modify them using cesium-137 radiation, which is now in all of us, by the way. Why? Because when cesium-137
building block, and then they're using frequency upon that cesium to.
Yes. So let me explain why. When cesium-137 binds with living tissue, it turns that tissue into a transducer, a transmitter, a receiver, an amplifier, amongst other things. So this is how, and you'll see this, the wireless body area network, I just sent you the information on it, and there's a lot more on this, was connecting, part of it was to enhance the wireless body area network and connect it. And I figured this out because of the original study, which I'll send to you. The military studies 44,000 service members and their families. C459-1001, they used something called an InTouch eDiary. It was an ePCR device downloaded onto their cell phones or their Fitbits. And so the military and Pfizer, FDA, were monitoring real-time cellular changes in people through their freaking cell phones. In terms of the genetic modification, and they were transmitting that data to a company in Israel, who then laundered the data, including 1,200 deaths and 82% spontaneous abortion rate, and they sent it back to the FDA, Pfizer, and the DOD, and said, "Look, safe and effective, everything's fine. 44,000 service members are just fine." Well, they weren't just fine. Those same 44,000 service members showed up again 6 months later in the Pfizer post-market document with 1,291 new diseases they didn't go to this clinical trial with. They came away with those.
Yeah.
So what we came to find, according to one of our expert witnesses, Teresa Long, famous flight surgeon, she was trained at Fort Detrick in chemical biological warfare. She said to test for 1,291 diseases, two-thirds of which I've never heard of in my career as a medical doctor, would have taken years to prepare those tests. In other words, that test was to test the ability to monitor biorhythms through the shots, the introduction of the materials, the hydrogel in the shots, as much as it was the weapons platform itself that caused 1,291 new diseases those people didn't have before. Number one of which is something called 1P36 gene deletion syndrome. It's a congenital disease. It controls the frontal cortex, the atrophy or non atrophy of your frontal cortex, the health of your frontal cortex. Without this gene, people become blithering, violent, propensity to bite, zombie-looking creatures. And this is where we're at.
Yeah. So the cesium, they just contaminate us with cesium in various ways. And then once the cesium's in our body, then once it's in our body, they use external frequencies to modify it and turn it
And what you come to find is that SARS-CoV-1, SARS-CoV-2 were designed to enhance the ability to discover and modify or interact with the wireless body area network. So that's what the patents say. So this is where Lisa really, started hitting the home run. She's like, holy cow, SARS-CoV-1 and 2, those were software installations. And they were.
What just popped in my head is radium. A lot of researchers are suggesting that radium is actually healthy for us. And that's one of the reasons why it's super expensive and we've been lied to. Does that ring true to you at all, but what radium is? Have you heard anything about radium?
It's entirely possible. Yeah. I mean, I've heard of radium. There's another one called rhodium, which is a national security asset. The answer is yes. I'm aware of it, but I don't know specifically. I know that there were some studies done in Japan as well that there was radium found in, for instance, some of the building materials where, you know, Japanese had built with concrete or whatever after World War II from Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and those people actually lived longer.
That's what I
found radium. Yeah,
heard. Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, they used to have in Florida. They had like natural springs that people would come all over the world to, you know, the Fountain of Youth, basically, and they found radium.
Sure. In so there's a lot to be done here. There's a lot to talk about it. And what I would suggest we do is take some time to go through this. Come back to me. Let me also introduce you to Lisa. And really understand what it is that we're saying, because nobody else has really taken the time to do that. And I think you've got a really good reach and ability to do that. And I would love to collaborate with you to get this into people's noggins, because they need to freaking know and embrace this stuff.
And what kind of defense do we have against it? Like, there's the Rife machine where you can, I guess, figure out good frequencies, but it would seem like you would want to create some type of force field, you know, against these frequencies. Like I have this I can't remember what it's called. Shugite. It's the Russian stone.
Hang on.
I've heard of different things.
Yeah. I got Orgon too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know Hope and Tavon?
No.
They produce these kinds of things. They're both targeted individuals. By the way, we have got a plethora of targeted individuals as clients of our law firm. I mean, they've been at it for a long time.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. So I've been in touch with a lot of targeted individuals. Why these individuals? Are they just randomly picked as guinea pigs and they're just that unlucky that they, you know, they've been used?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't find any commonality. I've found NASA engineers all the way down to house moms and everywhere in between.
And, okay, so what do you think, you know, I 7 billion people killed. Yeah, the Georgia Guidestones by 20.
How about the Cairo Population Accords?
Yeah.
You know, Henry Kissinger.
Right.
You know, he said it was a national security memo adopted officially by the U.S. government as policy. You can't beat that. Gardasil, my family tested that. I mean, I was in the vaccine business. That was why I was in Cuba. It's why I brought WHO and Pfizer into Cuba. I was the first American licensed to go there and do business. So I had a chance to meet, you know, the higher up kind of people. And the point is that my family has been testing all of these vaccines for 20 years. My sister runs the company, including Gardasil. We tested it in Kenya. All the girls went home sterile. That was the plan. We didn't know it, but yes.
Do you know anything about the Deagle report?
Sure.
What is the Deagle
report? He just died, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Well, he was, you know, he was an inside guy. He was an assistant secretary of defense. I think he was a general he was a general before that, Air Force, if memory serves. And he was what Rand Corporation and all those guys, I think Rand actually owned a part of Deagle's business. It was a forecasting entity in, you know, not just populations, but armaments and gross domestic product and everything in between. Our government relied upon that, but it was the playbook. I've got the 2025 population thing in my computer. I've got the actual spreadsheet. 73% reduction in the United States, Ireland, UK. It looks like we're on our way towards that. But the reality, Greg, is we fucked it all up. We, you know, they needed a 75% or better uptake on the shots, and they didn't get anywhere near that.
Yeah,
they might have gotten 55% shot.
No, I would agree. It does seem like it didn't happen as good as they wanted it to. Why do you think that is? Do you think it was because they? Well, I don't think it was because we
screwed it up. Their enforcement mechanism was the DOD. And when I sued the DOD, the one effect it had was we stopped the use of force. I filed a temporary restraining order, the first lawsuit against the DOD. Use of force was authorized. This was something put together by General McInerney and Teresa Long and Dan Robert. We had a meeting in the summer of 2021, and we all said, look, if we don't stop this, if we don't stop the military, then they're going to be using it as an enforcement tool. We've got to do something. And I was the only guy licensed in the federal courts. And Dan Robert, a drill sergeant, said, well, I'll be the plaintiff. Teresa Long said, I'll be the expert witness. And so I filed a temporary restraining order against the DOD. I served the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Health and Human Services, and the director of the FDA. I sued all of them. And I thought naively, great, here's all the evidence we're presenting, including the fact that all the test animals died from mRNA and its experimental shot. Maybe they'll roll this back. No, they doubled down. And so the point of which is that we stopped the use of force, and then we raised holy hell. We couldn't handle all the people saying, add me to your lawsuit, you know, help me, blah, blah, get me on the shots. So what we did is we created templates. One of my law partners in a pro bono law firm was a former JAG officer. We created 6 or 7 different templates, and we taught the service members. We created little colleges and rat lines, and we taught them how to fight their own fight. 400,000 service members papered the holy hell out of the DOD, and that's how we stopped them. And I don't want to be rude to you. I have another meeting that's going to come up, and he may come into this room, a good friend of mine I got a meeting with as well. But I want to carry this conversation on because there's so much to talk about. There's so much information to share.
Yeah.
I introduced you to Lisa McGee. It's important to me to also have this information elsewhere.
Yeah.
So I'd really, if you're amenable to it, I would love to give you a data dump of stuff.
Yeah, please.
And you can also access it. Vax Choice was a website. It's now a company that I built 3-4 years ago to act as a repository of all the evidence we were gathering in my lawsuit.
Okay.
Amongst other things. So Vax Choice, VAXChoice.com is there. It's loaded full of things that will blow your mind, but I specifically want you to understand from Lisa the electronic components of this thing, because what she figured out is that these pathogens are electronic parasites, and you effectively said that at the very beginning of this conversation. You understood that intuitively.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to her, and I'd like to have another conversation once I get a better understanding. And I'm just going to share this discussion with my audience on Substack because I think they'll get a kick out of it because it's been, even though it's a bit scattered here and there, that's just how interesting conversations go, you know? So we kind of covered all bases in about an hour, I think.
All right, good. All right, I'm going to head to my next meeting.
All right, well, let's do it again. End. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah.
Great meeting you. It was great talking to you.
Just enjoy.
I'll talk to you soon.
Good. All thank right. you, man.
Thanks, so man. Long.